My next guest on the program is the Vice President for University Advancement at Michigan State. Bob Groves is the head fundraiser for the institution and leads a team of over 200 professionals who are dedicated to identifying and engaging with men and women of vision to invest in the university's future. And a bit of full disclosure, he's also my boss. Bob, welcome to Current State.
Thanks, Scott. Glad to be here.
We're coming off a record fundraising year at MSU. What are the numbers and how did we do it?
Well, last fiscal year, which ended June 30, Michigan State secured $272 million in private support for the university, and we did it with a lot of help. More than 100,000 Spartan alumni, friends, family, including our faculty and staff, have been part of that. We think the Empower Extraordinary campaign that we've been running for several years now is an important part of spreading the word and getting people engaged.
What is the essential message of Empower Extraordinary?
Well, it's basically that Michigan State's a very special place, and we've got a very special mission, and that can't happen without private support. Certainly the support from the state, the tuition that our students pay, the investments that we make through our endowment and other things play a vital role in that. Private support's a really important part of that. An example, every university is no better than the faculty that it has, and Michigan State's got some tremendous faculty. But we're in competition not just with institutions in the state of Michigan or even institutions in the United States, but we're in competition with higher education around the globe for the best and the brightest faculty. Faculty come to be a part of a university not only because of what they're paid, but also because of who their colleagues are and what kind of research they can do and what the caliber of students that are here. So it becomes a very complex mix of how you bring those people here. Endowed faculty support, endowed professorships, endowed chairs are a really important part of that. When we look at how Michigan State stacks up compared to many of our Big Ten peers and top universities around the country, we're behind the curve in terms of the number of endowed chairs. So one of the objectives we set for this campaign was to add 100 new endowed chairs to the university during the life of this campaign. So far, we've added 58 endowed chairs. So making great progress on that goal. I would say when we started this campaign, many of our alumni and many of our best supporters were unaware of that competitive picture and have gotten on board in a big way to help make that happen. An endowed chair is a $2 million endowment, so it's not something that everyone financially can do. But we have many Spartans who can do that if they know the story. So a campaign is also about telling those stories. So that's a venture we've been on for a couple of years now, and we're having some great success.
One of the great storytellers that we have in the campaign is Bob Scandalaris, an amazing Spartan, amazing investor in Michigan State. We've got a clip of him talking about Empower Extraordinary.
Well, there aren't too many places where you can give some money back to a cause and see the direct impact it has on the people that you most want to help. So you can give to cancer research, and certainly that's a worthy cause. But when we feel like when we give to Michigan State, we can see the benefit it brings to the university and to the environment. And, universities need the support of people out there, whether it's, $100 or $10 million. It doesn't matter. Support, and they need that support.
Really, really good message, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And Bob and Julie have stepped up as leadership donors in this campaign, make personal gifts primarily to athletics, but they've leveraged many, many other donors in that process. So they've helped to many people are familiar that they were lead donors in a previous campaign to the football center. But they've also been very important in the expansion of the golf program, including women's golf. They've been leaders in some of the expansion and renovation going on in the Breslin Center. And there's some announcements coming in the next few weeks about some of that progress. And then Bob and Julie are just tremendous door openers,
yeah.
Hosts. And Bob and Julie serve as co-chairs of this campaign, along with a longtime trustee and great cheerleader for the university, Dee Cook, and her husband, Byron. So we're very fortunate to have great enthusiastic philanthropic leaders. So.
Well, another great clip I want to jump to is Susan Goldberg from National Geographic talking about the campaign.
I thought it was important to establish a scholarship because so many students now are being forced really to take internships in which they are not paid, and that's going to be the only way they can get experience. I have to say, I really don't think that's a right thing, but I can't change the world. But what I can do is help those students by, you know, creating a scholarship that will give them stipends so they can take those internships. Otherwise, it would only be wealthy students who could get these internships where they're not paid, when in fact people, you know, lower-income kids, middle-income kids, everybody needs to learn the craft of journalism. And I just think that that needs to be something that everybody can participate in.
Scholarships are really an entry point for many people, aren't they?
Absolutely. Investment. And that's the thing people understand most readily and most directly, helping students make sure that they can afford to go to school, and at a time when, you know, the state's literally been disinvesting in higher education for some time. And you know, the university works hard to keep its costs under control and make sure that the university remains affordable. But, you know, you can't work enough hours a day as a student to pay your way through in a given year. When you and I went to college, we could...
A lot of hours we worked.
We could work summer hours and a few hours on the weekends and so forth. I served meals in my fraternity house and paid my room and board that way. And but you can't do that anymore and pay the whole bill. And the alternative is students end up with debt that hangs over them, you know, through a large part of their young career and life. So scholarships are really an important part of making sure that students have that opportunity to come to a place like Michigan State.
Well, you know, the interesting thing to me when we were talking earlier about athletics is the examples that our athletic leadership have made in non-athletic areas. When you look at the gifts from Mark Hollis and Tom Izzo and such, some of it goes to the athletic program, but a lot of it goes elsewhere.
Yeah, well, and they've made a conscious choice in doing that they wanted to send the message that while they're clearly great leaders of athletic programs and they believe in the power of a strong athletic program at a place like Michigan State, they also know that our primary mission is educating young people. And they want that to be part of their message. They want that to be part of their philanthropy. They're here in part because they strongly believe in the power of higher education. Otherwise, we know they've had opportunities to do other things, whether it's professional sports or other areas where their talents would be, you know, more generously compensated. So we're really, really pleased to have them not only as donors but as great ambassadors for Michigan State.
You know, you and I have beginnings in common. You grew up on a farm. My first radio job was reading Hog Prices on WPAG in Ann Arbor, Michigan. How did you find your way from the farm to this profession? What was it that turned you on?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, from that background, I was active like many folks are in things like FFA and 4-H, and that led to some leadership opportunities and a chance to leave the farm and do some public speaking.
Something
and
other
the
than 5 a.m. Yeah. Cow milking.
My dad used to joke that FFA stood for Father Farms Alone. You know, I'd get a chance to travel and to learn more. One of those things led to an opportunity to come back after graduation and work at the university and begin to work in the area of fundraising and alumni relations. I knew a lot of people. I knew the story of why the university was important. I got the chance to talk about how it made a difference in my life. And I was first generation, at least in my immediate family, in terms of going to college. I had an uncle on my mother's side that was college graduate, but that was my sole exposure to higher education. And so it was a bit of a mission for me. I mean, I still believe higher education changes people's lives, and that it's really one of the few things that really does have a transformational impact. And it has that impact, you know, at all kinds of levels. It has that impact on the individual and opening up doors for them, the possibility. But it also has an impact on society and their communities and the way people think and the way they involve other people. So there's a lot of ripples in that pond. And then you begin to understand that, particularly in these big public universities, that much like the privates, that individual support, that voluntary support, you know, kind of a very American tradition, is a really important part to making these places excellent places. The public's made the possibility here. They've invested in terms of basic facilities and the basic infrastructure. But the difference between an outstanding university and an average university is often that margin that comes from private support. So that was an opportunity for me to use the skills I had in terms of public speaking, public relations, and understanding kind of how the university works to take that to other people. So, and the joy is that there's a lot of great folks, whether it's a Bob and Julie Scandalaris or a Tom Izzo or many, many other alums and friends of the university that believe in that mission as well.
It's a calling. It's very close to a ministerial calling, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, WKAR, we talked at the start of the program about how WKAR kind of has always led the way. Public broadcasting has always been dependent upon philanthropy. Why invest in a place like this today?
Well, it really comes back to that very basic thing of voluntary support. You know, we can fund things lots of ways. We can allow businesses to advertise, and we can simply make it a business of generating income in a very entrepreneurial way. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but it changes the character of what you do. It means the kind of programs that get covered, the kind of commentary that is held, the kind of way you program is then generated in a way that is designed to deliver optimum dollar support as opposed to the right messages. That's not to criticize our friends in the commercial industry, but
I think it's an appropriate criticism.
It's a different product, okay? It's a different product. And when you have private support, you're much more free to think widely about how you want to cover the news and how you want to talk about the current events and whether you're going to spend more time going deeply into a subject, even if it might not sell an advertisement or not. If you believe that that's important, then you need to support that with your support. Otherwise, it goes away. And so we're tested in the marketplace every day in a different way. But instead of buying soap, you make a direct contribution. So it's not to denigrate other models, but it's important to have those alternatives. And that's why, you know, I personally support, you know, public radio, public broadcasting, because it's important to me. Some people choose not to do that, but you can't have it both ways. You can't complain about what the alternatives are and then not be participating in a way to help it. So.
Amen. Spoken like two of us who are investors in this very fine radio station. Bob Groves is a vice president for university advancement at Michigan State University. Boss, thank you for being on the program,
Scott.
Today. It's been an honor to have
you. It's nice to know you have marketable skills.
It's always a plan B.